The Goal Line Club brings you Gopher Gridiron Radio. Ryan, if I want to support Gopher football and I want to make sure that they are 100% supported with my donations, what's a good way to do that?
It is becoming a member of the Goal Line Club. And I think people need to understand that maybe we haven't made this clear enough. It is a 100% tax deductible membership that solely supports Gopher football. So if you're just going to spend $100 to pay the tax man, might as well use that $100 to support directly to the Gopher football program in becoming a Goal Line Club member today. And to do that, go to goalineclub.org and join now to become a member.
And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns, and we welcome you guys back to tell you the sky still isn't falling. The sun has continued to come up as Minnesota tries to regroup and figure out what this season is going to be following that Bowling Green loss on Saturday. But Luke, I mean, as we currently sit here, I believe the sun is still shining.
Yep.
And we've seen press conferences this week. It's going to be an awfully interesting Saturday game against the Purdue Boilermakers.
It will be an interesting game. Generally speaking, I think going into this game, I think it was going to be a pick 'em. But now
it
I think
essentially
it is. But I do think that, you know, the public perception skews in the way of Purdue, given both their record and additionally, additionally, they've just had better wins, and the Minnesota loss just looks really bad. But it doesn't mean, like you said, that the sky is falling and the season is over. There's still a lot of season ahead of you, and you have an opportunity in the Big Ten to make some noise in what we believe is a West division that, you know, isn't elite by any stretch of the imagination.
No, and I hope that for those of you who haven't listened to that breakdown episode following Bowling Green, because you can't bring yourself to do it, you're going to be so just crestfallen that you can't. I've had a couple of people say on GI or reach out to me in the DMs that they thought that was one of our best episodes ever, which considering I think we've done a couple hundred of these, I think it means something that
what I think that really means is nobody actually that like hates when I talk actually has listened yet. So, yeah.
But I mean, I think we gave a lot of solutions to what this season could be still. I still think everything is ahead of them. I think Flex said that today, but it's going to start with what is going to be an inflection point for the season, which is on the road at Purdue this weekend. So it's there's a lot to get into, Luke. I'll say that.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about injuries. Again, this is something that is very difficult for us to predict. No question about it, mostly because there aren't depth charts, mostly because there isn't an injury report. But the ones that we're obviously keeping an eye on, Chris Ottman-Belt, first and foremost.
Yes, and that's where Flex said on Monday that Chris Ottman-Belt practiced on Sunday, which is obviously a very good sign. Flex said as much, but I believe I need to give some context there. Sunday for the varsity team, aka the guys that played on Saturday, is a walkthrough. So, I mean, they do some light individual work, things like that, but, I mean, would you rather him practice on Sunday than not? Absolutely. But I think he is still not 100% certain to be able to go against Purdue. But we'll see. I mean, I think I feel better about his chances after hearing that, certainly. But I think we'll see what happens there. But I think really the big injuries, Luke, are on the Purdue side of the ball, where there is an obscene amount of just ambiguity, I'll say, where you look at Mike Allstott 2.0 for them, Xander Horvath. You remember him, the big 6'4", 240-pound back last year who had 15 touches for 118 yards against Minnesota. He broke something in his leg, I believe. So he's not going to be playing against Minnesota. Their number two back, King Doru, missed last week's game with a non-COVID-related illness. I have no idea what that means or if he's going to be back or not. But the biggest one is David Bell, who arguably is the best wide receiver in the Big Ten. He missed last week's game with as he was in the concussion protocol. I mean, if you haven't seen it, it was a scary hit. I mean, his head hit the turf, or I guess grass, against Notre Dame incredibly hard. So he missed the game, and I have no idea what to expect. But again, it's a very serious thing. It's a brain injury. But considering David Bell, the last two games, has gone over 100 yards against Minnesota in both, it would obviously be a big boost for this Minnesota, back seven, if he's not going to be able to go. And then the only other injury, only in air quotes there, is Purdue's tight end, who I think is their number two or their number three pass-catching option, got banged up against Illinois. He did not return. And from talking with some Purdue beat writers, sounds like he's very questionable to return. You'll remember him catching the pass interference, non-pass interference in the end zone last year to help Minnesota seal away the victory at home against Purdue. So there's a lot of ambiguity at the skill position for both Minnesota and Purdue. Purdue, obviously the Boilermakers more so, but we're not going to know anything until 10:15 on Saturday morning. I'm sure Jeff Brohm's not going to give anything away this week. You know damn well that PJ Fleck's not going to either. So it is going to be one to be monitoring the Twitter machine on Saturday morning.
All right. So let's talk about when the Gophers are on offense. Actually Purdue, usually known as a high scoring offense that doesn't actually play a lot of defense, has what seems to be a fairly decent defense this year, Ryan. They're giving up 14.3 points per game. They're giving up 300 yards overall, and 176 of those are coming on the ground. Well, 176 through the air and 124 on the ground. Minnesota, conversely, as we know, is averaging 25.5 points per game, 344 on the ground, 135 through the air, which we obviously know has to change, and then 209 on the ground. I am interested to see how this Minnesota defense bounces back, obviously, from the Bowling Green game. And more importantly, this is going to be probably one of the better defenses that they face this year. So, it's going to be an interesting test overall.
I don't know that it's going to be one of the better ones. I think Colorado's probably the best.
Okay.
I think Ohio State second, Bowling Green third. And here's what I'll say is I'm interested to see what Purdue's defense is, because they faced two not good offenses, and UConn, who may be the worst team in college football, an Illinois offense they allowed 9 points to last week. But Illinois' offense has been dreadful this season. And then the two teams that have a pulse offensively in Oregon State, from Luke's favorite conference in the Pac-12, and then Notre Dame, both put up 20-plus points on them. So, it is going to be a test, certainly, because what Minnesota offense is going to show up? Is it going to be the one we saw against Colorado? Or is it going to be the one we saw against Bowling Green, where Minnesota's being able to be efficient, and they're able to put up 30-plus points? Or are we going to see the one that went into a turtle shell last week and only managed 10? I don't know. I would tend to lean towards Minnesota is going to swing back on the other side of the pendulum this week and play up to their level of opponent. They're going to go from the crest probably more from the valley more towards the crest. And I think this offensive line has a big challenge ahead of them, because they're going to be facing maybe the best pass rusher they'll see all year. And George Karlaftis, he is tremendous. Minnesota saw him last year, but he wasn't 100%. I don't remember if he didn't play or wasn't 100%. He had an ankle injury and I think COVID, but he is a very, very good player. I would not be surprised at all to see this Karlaftis kid be a first-round draft pick. He's that good. And that's where it's going to be. How do Sam Schluter and Daniel Faalele hold up? Because I expect if Minnesota... See, this is where it's tough, Luke, especially after what we saw offensively. The assumption of rational coaching would tell you Minnesota should probably keep in a tight end on that side, or at least chip him, or you always have a running back to the side where Karlaftis is. Because the other good pass rusher for Purdue is 270 pounds. And why does that matter, Luke?
Well, it matters because we assume that he is less fleet of foot, which seems to be a struggle for this University of Minnesota offensive line.
And what kind of pass rushers did Bowling Green have last week that gave Minnesota fits?
Very fleet of foot pass rushers, Ryan.
Yes. So it's going to be an interesting test for Minnesota up front, because you want to see Daniel Faalele become interested in the game again, because he was not interested in last week, and that's where Branson Dean is the other pass rusher for them. He's got 13 total pressures. George Karlafkas has 16, but the next closest after that is only 5. All these stats via Pro Football Focus, by the way. So Minnesota's running game, I think, is going to find success. I'll get into it more in the keys to the game, but Illinois' running backs ran for over 6 yards a carry last week. The week before that, Notre Dame's running backs ran for over 5 yards a carry. But I think we all know what it comes down to, and that's the passing game. I've got some interesting kind of stats that Luke and I will kind of him and haw about. What do they mean for Minnesota's passing game, and specifically with the quarterback and the receivers? But Minnesota, I think, is going to be able to run the ball enough to where they're going to have to be able to hit on some of these play action shots. I mean, I think back to that 2019 game when Minnesota was last in West Lafayette, and you'll remember. Actually, Luke, what do you remember about that 2019 game for Minnesota?
That 2019 game did not go as what I assumed was going to be the plan. I thought they were going to stick to kind of their grounded pound approach, but instead they kind of opened things wide open. And I think Tanner Morgan had arguably his best game. He was almost perfect. I think he maybe had one incompletion, and they threw for a ton of yards. I don't have the exact number of yards in front of me, but I think it was greater than 250. They were just absolutely dynamic, and it was still a close game towards the end.
Well, yeah, because special teams was a disaster.
Exactly.
But, yeah, Tanner Morgan had the best game of his life against Purdue in 19 when he went 21 of 22 for nearly 400 yards and 4 scores. Now, it's a different Jeff Brohm defense. Can you guess how many defensive coordinators that Purdue currently has that have defensive coordinator in their title?
I think I read somewhere on Twitter that it's like 4 position coaches all have like co-defensive coordinators.
They have... Like 3 co-defensive coordinators.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Not entirely sure what it means, but there's no denying Purdue's defense has been better. But I also think Minnesota's offense is also just going to swing back in the other way. We've seen Tanner play well against Purdue in his career. Now, it would certainly help if the quarterback had his number one option back in Chris Ottman-Bell. I mean, we talked about that just a little bit earlier here,
yeah.
But even last year, with Mike Sanford calling the plays, he was 15 of 22 for 264 yards. So I'm optimistic that this passing offense, now that it has a week to prepare with or without Chris Ottman-Bell on how to attack Notre Dame through the air, is going to at least find a little bit of success. But I'd also speak to the Purdue passing offense or passing defense has been much better. They've allowed four interceptions to 2 touchdowns. So I think opposing quarterbacks are only completing like 53% of their passes, but we need to see Tanner Morgan bounce back. We need to see PJ Fleck allow Mike Sanford to dial some stuff up to be aggressive in the passing game, because I do not believe that Minnesota can emerge with a road Big Ten victory with just the ground and pound, Luke.
So, I mean, maybe to close out here on the offense, obviously Minnesota is going to continue to try and run the ball. We have to strike some sort of a balance, at least in passing, to keep them honest, right? And have to have success with it. And, you know, we have to be willing to take some risk, as we talked about in the breakdown episode. Generally speaking, though, I think this is an opportunity to bounce back. And I think that they can do it on offense.
They're more than capable of. And again, I know everyone is incredibly down on the offense. I get it. They were horrible last week. We've spent, I think, nearly 2 hours talking about that on this podcast. But I also acknowledge that while the passing game wasn't great, I wouldn't even say it was particularly really average through the first 3 games, Minnesota still found a way to put up 30-plus points. Now, the question is going to be, what is the game plan from Fleck, Sanford, and this offensive coaching staff? Because they have adequate film on what the Purdue defense is going to provide. I think they've got adequate film against Power 5 opponents between Oregon State, Notre Dame, and Illinois to how they want to attack it. And we're going to need to see it that they can afford to be aggressive, because that's the biggest thing that maybe you and I are looking for this week from the offense. When things don't go well, which they didn't against Bowling Green, where Fleck talked about on Monday how he kept coming back to they missed a couple down the field shots. And all I could think to myself was, you missed Michael Brown Stevens deep, but that was it. That was like your only pass of 20 plus yards. Now, they did miss Daniel Jackson in the intermediate game there, but you can't have 2 missed throws have you deviate from your plan, Luke? Does that make sense?
Definitely. That absolutely makes sense. And what I would say too is by not taking those deep shots, they're also limiting themselves in terms of picking up big gains, not just in like a completed pass, but also picking up like a pass interference. Like you're not even keeping them honest at the end of the day.
Right. And like it was there. So it's not like Tanner threw it and it was a 50-50 ball. Like,
and we have to throw away the last like 3 minutes. Let's not look at that. It's like all 57 minutes ahead of the last 3 minutes of the game against Bowling Green.
So, and that's where, again, I want to see some aggressive vertical game from Minnesota's passing game. And I want to see Mike Sanford start to show it here, because it's going to be, if Minnesota's passing offense is anemic again, and heaven forbid Minnesota, who is a 2-point underdog, I think, as we currently sit here in time, does not emerge from West Lafayette with a victory, it's going to be awfully hot for some people on that staff seats going into a bye week. But hopefully we don't have to get into that.
Once again, the Goal Line Club brings a Gopher Gridiron Radio. Ryan, we enjoy very much the tailgates. The next tailgate is going to be against Nebraska after the bye week. There's plenty of time for people to join. And if they want to join and save $10, if they're not a member, they can use the promo code HOODIE10. And what are they going to save with those $10? What are they going to get by joining the tailgate, Ryan?
Well, they're going to get to, number one, see you and I. Number two, they're going to have an opportunity to be indoors, because while it is warm right now, everyone here knows how quickly fall comes and goes. I feel like fall is like a beautiful 1 week stretch in Minnesota. And then we're talking 40s, highs in the 40s. So you get to be inside, unlimited beverages, adult or non-adult. You'll have a catered meal there. Tony's Diner will be able to feed you, and you'll be amongst the camaraderie of many, many different Gopher fans. And that's where, again, I think becoming a member, again, 100% tax deductible. So it's $100 to become a member. 100% of your money, aka the $100, goes strictly towards the Gopher football program. No other athletic team can put their hand into that pot, and you can help directly support PJ Fleck and his Gopher football program. But if you just want to come hang out with us at the tailgate and you're a non-member, use the promo code HOODIE10. That's HOODIE10 or HOODY10 at checkout. You get $10 off to come hang out with us at the tailgate on October the 16th.
All right, let's look at when this Gopher defense is on the field. Again, they're coming off arguably two of their better games that they've played in more recent history. They've been able to limit explosive plays. I'll be completely honest with you now, Ryan. I'm really bummed to not be able to see David Bell. It's always I hate injuries in general when it comes to the game of football.
We don't know,
let's assume he doesn't play, right? Like, because
I don't know what to assume. With concussion injuries, because they're so tough. But I mean, David Bell is a tremendous player. That's why he's gone over 100 yards in each of his two games against Minnesota. But I mean, that's going to be a big turning point, is if David Bell plays versus if David Bell doesn't play, because without Rondale Moore in that offense, there's still an explosive Jeff Brohm offense. But if you don't have the horses to run the race, it makes them a little bit more difficult.
Yeah. Okay. So looking at the numbers just real quick, Purdue on the season, 26.3 points per game, 406 total yards per game, 314, not surprisingly, through the air, only 92 on the ground. The Gophers, conversely, are giving up 21.3 points per game, 272 total yards, 195 through the air, and 77 yards on the ground. I imagine that Purdue will be trying to make their hay in through the air, Ryan. No surprise there with a Jeff Brohm-led offense. Usually they're trying to get you out wide, spread the field, and you know, get their playmakers in space. Obviously, as we mentioned, we'd love to see David Bell play. Who knows if that's going to be the case, but very obviously they're Mike Allstott 2.0 will not be playing given the injury you already mentioned.
Right. Yeah. Purdue's offense this year is a little different. They're playing two quarterbacks, which I subscribe to the theory. If you have two quarterbacks, you have no quarterbacks, because especially with 18 to 22 year old individuals, like rotating them on a series by series basis, I feel like helps no one. But it's been a two quarterback system for Purdue this year. They've got two quarterbacks in Jack Plummer and Aiden O'Connell. It's like neither one, it's not like one is the mobile guy and one is the pocket passer. They're both the same in terms of they're both not very mobile guys. But that's where, like, from talking with the Purdue people, O'Connell is willing to take more shots down the field. And that's where Plummer has yet to throw a pick, where O'Connell has thrown four in his last two games. So it's like a weird dynamic that Brohm is trying to figure out there. But I anticipate seeing two quarterbacks, and then we get to the skill positions. And as Luke mentioned, Purdue is not going to run the ball. They're going to try to run the ball probably 10 to 15 times. They're not going to have a lot of success, and it comes down to, that's where I asked Fleck on Monday, I say, you know, is it nice that you played Bowling Green before Purdue? Because while Bowling Green is a spread offense, and so is Purdue, you at least have to make sure that you're comfortable tackling well in space. And that's what this game is going to come down to, is really the big differences to me between Purdue's offense and Bowling Green's offense is Purdue is going to have more of a vertical aspect of it. And certainly David Bell is a big part of that. Their tight end, who got banged up against Illinois, Payne Durham, is a big part of that too. But they also have some skill position guys there. But it remains the same for Minnesota. I mean, stop the run, which I think they're going to be able to do. And then if you tackle well in space, you're going to have a pretty good shot in terms of being able to create some turnovers, being able to get after the passer. And that's the other thing, Luke, is this Purdue offensive line was not particularly good last week against Illinois. Now, I can understand you not being good against Notre Dame's defense. I think Marcus Freeman is doing a wonderful job for them. But this is an Illinois defense two games ago against Virginia that absolutely got torched. And Illinois' pass rush was able to get after it a little bit against Purdue. And that's where if D'Angelo Carter can have back-to-back weeks of what he did against Bowling Green, against what he did upcoming here against Purdue, I think that bodes well. They're going to need to see it again from Thomas Rush and Boye Mafe, who continue to play around 60% of the snaps. If Minnesota can get after the passer, especially when O'Connell is in the game, I mean, there's going to be some turnovers to be had. And then it's also going to be a proving week for Terrell Smith and Coney Durr, as well as the safeties. The safeties cannot let these corners be in these one-on-one opportunities. You have to be able to sit there over the top and be able to make a couple of plays. I mean, we saw Tyler Newbin have a great opportunity to make a play on the sideline there, didn't make it. We've seen also just two games ago, he steps in front of the pass against Miami of Ohio, makes the play. So it's going to be a big day for this secondary to prove that. I mean, to me, Luke, I mean, I look at the upcoming games in the schedule here. Nebraska's passing game is not what Purdue's is. Maryland's is going to be a test with what they have at their skill positions. And then you have Northwestern, whose passing game is as anemic as Minnesota's is right now. So as far as we know, Coney Durr is healthy. Terrell Smith is healthy. And the rest of these guys are got to be ready to go against what is going to be a passing onslaught on Saturday. I anticipate, Luke, you know, Purdue's going to throw the ball 45 times or so, I think, against this Minnesota team.
Yeah, and you know, I subscribe to the same theory that you do, that when you have two quarterbacks, you really have no quarterback. But in the same respect, like, you know, they have found ways to be successful. We know that Plummer has had success against the Gophers historically. He did I believe that was in 2019. He actually came in as like the third quarterback, wasn't he? And had some success. So generally speaking, I'm excited to see this matchup. I would love to see David Bell as we've already mentioned, but you know, this is
I won't
a good
be crestfallen. Yeah, I would not be crestfallen if David Bell does not play in this game because Minnesota's chances go up of winning.
Yeah,
but I also acknowledge like David Bell is a very tremendously talented receiver, and I like watching good players go against good players. Like I would love to see Coney Durr versus David Bell.
Yeah, yeah, and I like that as well. But generally speaking, you know, traditionally, Purdue's offense is pretty dynamic, and it'd be a good test for this Gopher defense, and kind of really an opportunity to prove themselves. You know, a third good game in a row would be awesome for them. I'd love to see that as well.
they're going to have every opportunity to, because like I said, I don't think the yardage totals against them will be that staggering. I would be surprised if Purdue's got more than 50, 60 yards rushing, if that, but it's going to be, can you keep this passing game in check? So between the two quarterbacks, they're not throwing for 300 something yards and the return of the dreaded explosive plays.
Again, it's time for Gopher Math. So a little bit about Ayers Rock Planning. Our contact there is Brandon. Brandon is a 2006 alum of the University of Minnesota. He has numerous emotionally filled experiences with Gopher football, as many of us do. Some of those emotions are bookended by the 2005 loss to Wisconsin and also the 2019 win against Penn State. And his most prized and favorite memory is going to the bank, the opening game at the bank with his dad, who watched games at Memorial Stadium. That was really special to him. And at Ayers Rock Plan, he wants to make a special connection with you and make a tailored plan for you and your tax purposes. So when you're thinking about life's biggest expenses, when it comes to college, mortgage, etc., keep in mind that you're also going to be cutting big checks to the IRS. So if you want to have a personalized plan specially tailored to you, reach out to Ayers Rock Planning. Go to ayersrockplanning.com.
All right, so let's get into this week's Gopher Math question. Again, 2 months of free GI is on the docket. So you can come behind the paywall, hang out with me, ask me any and all questions about how terrible the play calling is, any and all recruiting questions for myself or Ryan James, 2 months on the line. So this week's question, and I will remind you once again that PEMDAS does not apply. Just take the first number, apply the second function to the second number, and so on. So we start with Purdue national championships plus Purdue Heisman winners plus the current Minnesota winning streak over Purdue. So if you perform those three functions, get an answer, tweet it to at Gopher Radio, at Ryan Burns MN, and at Ayers Rock Plans on Twitter with hashtag Gopher Math, and you will get 2 free months of Gopher Illustrated.
All right, time to get some facts and figures going into this game. This is a 11 a.m. kick on October the 2nd. Currently, the Gophers are a 2.5-point underdog from what I see at a 47.5 over-under. I think that seems like a pretty fair line at the moment. Ryan, your thoughts?
Well, it depends. We're going to find out how good each offense and defense is, if that makes sense. Like, each offense doesn't seem like they're humming at the efficiency like we saw in recent years, while each defense seems to be playing better than what we saw in recent years. Because in the last two games, in 2019 and 2020, a very nice 69-point total was put up in both games, where right, Minnesota won 38-31. So I don't foresee that happening in this for the multitude of reasons that we've already talked about. But, yeah, I mean, it's like an NFL over-under type of score, where it's Vegas thinks this game's going to be somewhere around 25, 23, you know, somewhere in there, 25, 22, 24, 21. And again, with the way each offense and recency bias here is working into it, has performed, I mean, I guess I can see why they're kind of putting it right there.
All right, so let's look at the weather going into this game in West Lafayette. So at an 11 o'clock kick, the temperature should be about 74 degrees, working its way up to about 78, maybe even touching the 80s. The thing to note here, Ryan, not a lot of wind, but there is going to be a fair amount of humidity. The dew point slowly rising throughout the game, and it'll be in the middle 60s. So that could maybe play a little bit of a factor. Maybe things will be a little bit humid, maybe a slick ball here or there. But it shouldn't matter all that much, but it's something to keep an eye on. Generally speaking, looks like pretty good football weather in early October.
Yeah, we've certainly seen worse. I mean, I remember 3 years ago when Joe Rossi took over for Rob Smith, his first game was against Purdue. I think you remember that game at TCF Bank Stadium where it was a little frothy. Chilly. Yeah, it was a little snowy, a little cold. Purdue wanted nothing to be with it. So now that it's going to be in the 70s, it'll be interesting to see if it does anything for either one of these teams.
All right. So just to round out in terms of facts and figures, this game is on BTN. I'm trying to think. I think this might be the Gophers. Is this their first game on BTN or is this their second? First one was Fox Sports 1. I think maybe Miami of Ohio is on BTN, but we obviously
either
know.
Either way, it's going to be on a channel that people can, number one, find.
Find.
This is actually the first game of the year on BTN because they were on Fox for Ohio State, ESPNU for Miami of Ohio, and Bowling Green. And then again, Luke's favorite TV station on planet Earth, the Pac-12 network, for that Colorado game. So finally, you get to use that BTN package that you pay so much money for.
All right. And then finally, we went over the line and the over under again, 2.5 in favor of Purdue, 47.5 on the over under. Minnesota against the spread is 1-2-1, while Purdue is 2-2-0 against the spread. So Ryan, let's get to your keys to the game.
Oh, I mean, is it any surprise that my number one key is Mike Sanford has to open up the passing game?
No, it's zero surprise.
So Minnesota's 2-2 this year, and somehow Tanner Morgan has only thrown the ball 18 or more times in a game once. You know, I think it's obvious to everyone listening to this that the passing game was the big issue on Saturday, amongst other things. And it's been an issue this year and for large points of last year. And I'm perplexed as to why Fleck and offensive coordinator Mike Sanford haven't opened it up, especially with a fourth-year starting quarterback. Now, spare me with it's because Tanner Morgan is awful takes. Spare me. I don't care. I don't think he's terrible, but did he arguably play the worst game of his career against Bowling Green last week? No doubt. He was bad. And if you have two poor games in a row from your quarterback, we can have some discussions about things going into the bye week, but 2 weeks in a row from a fourth-year starter cannot happen. And to me, that's on Sanford for getting his quarterback playing at a much higher level this weekend. But this is where I'm curious for your input here, Luke, because I've kind of went down some rabbit holes here. And it's interesting to look at the struggles of the pass catchers because through four games, Minnesota is currently dead last in the Big Ten in yards after the catch, or what the kids like to call yak. You're behind Iowa, you're behind Minnesota, or behind Wisconsin, behind even Northwestern's passing game. So to me, that says these passing plays are schemed far too often to where whoever the primary receiver is, there is not nearly enough space around him to move. To me, there's been far too many tight window throws across the middle or just deep shots along the sidelines. Now, what does it mean for you that Minnesota's dead last in the Big Ten in yards after the catch?
So I think it's two things. I agree with your scheme perspective, but it also can be the actual receivers, right? You know, their ability to either get open and create separation and an opportunity to run after the catch, or conversely, like you just don't have the volume of attempts where you're not actually able to, you know, get more catches so that there aren't as many targets. So therefore there aren't as many catches and then there aren't as many attempts to run. So it's probably some combination of all three of those things.
Yes. And that's where I think I would love to just see more of some quick hitting passing game. Where you get Tanner into a rhythm early in the game. Felt like that was a huge part of his success in 2019 was he got into a rhythm early. And then that kind of plays into my next point, which is the deep passing numbers. Because Tanner Morgan's deep passing numbers over the last 3 years are pretty interesting. And I'm talking about yards of 20-plus throws. And again, this is all via Pro Football Focus. So in 2019... in a 13-game sample for that season, Tanner Morgan completed 32 of 57 pass attempts of 20-plus yards down the field. That's a 56% clip for 1,135 yards. That's nearly 20 yards per attempt with 10 touchdowns and one interception. Now, in the last 11 games, so in 2020 in the first four games here of 2021, Tanner Morgan has only attempted 33 shots down the field, and he's only completing 12 of them. That is a 36% clip, so 20% less than in 2019, for a yards per attempt of 12 instead of 20, with only one touchdown and two interceptions. So I mean, the deep passing numbers here are staggering, Luke. We're talking about, I think, a pretty comparable sample size. Now, again, two less games between 2020 and 2021 versus 2019. But I think it plays a large part in this reason. I mean, I don't think Tanner Morgan just suddenly forgot how to throw the deep ball.
No. Again, but, so there's probably two ways that you can look at this, right? One is the changes in the offense brought by Sanford, which, you know, we've been critical of, and rightfully so. And then two, the quality of the receivers. Now, one, in 2019, you have three main options in Chris Ottman-Bell, Tyler Johnson, and then Rashad Bateman. Now, in 2019, you really have two options for part of the year, Chris Ottman-Bell and Rashad Bateman. And then here now in 2021, you really only have Chris Ottman-Bell. Now, I think we both believe that on roster they have guys that can contribute, but maybe aren't the level of NFL caliber. Like, I've been high on Daniel Jackson. I think that he has an opportunity. But, you know, generally speaking, you maybe don't have the caliber of receiver, you know, for maybe even just a deep ball, right?
Right. And that's where, again, I think, as you do, I think it's a multitude of things. I think that the offensive coordinator change from Shiraka's passing concepts to Sanford's passing concepts, I think, play a prominent role in this. I also acknowledge and understand that going from Rashad Bateman and Tyler Johnson in 2019, two of the best receivers in the program's history, to what has largely been Daniel Jackson, Michael Brown Stevens, and Daylon Wright in 2021, because Chris Ottman-Bell's been hurt, is a big difference. But it is just staggering to me, some of these statistics with this deep passing game, because Minnesota's taking less deep shots, which, again, if you don't have the horses, I guess, per se, why would you want to stretch it vertically? But I think there's something to be said with having a vertical aspect of a passing offense to keep and hold the defense accountable. But it's like 13 games where he's incredibly efficient, you know, completing 56% of these deep balls for nearly 20 yards per attempt, 10 touchdowns and a pick, to now he's regressed with his deep ball, completing only 36%, which is 20% less, one touchdown and two picks. I mean, it's something worth kind of, again, trying, as we're all trying to figure out what the issues and are. I mean, I think we all know what the issues are, but trying to figure out what are the solutions here. I think the vertical passing game can be one of them. And that's where hopefully Ottman-Bell being back here this weekend can help.
And again, success isn't always completing those passes, right? It can be, sure, you know, throwing it incomplete, but also, you know,
right,
getting
Daylon Wright and Ottman-Bell draw these long pass interference penalties that advance the offense. But it was like, last week specifically, you took one deep shot to Brown Stevens. Morgan missed him, but he was open, and then they just never went back to him. Yeah. To me, that's a Fleck thing. I know everybody's so angry at Sanford, and I get it. You can be angry at him, but it's both of them. Yeah. And that's where, I mean, Minnesota against Purdue here specifically, I mean, there's still going to be a team that runs the ball to open up the passing game. I talked about it earlier. The last 2 weeks, Illinois' running backs just 1 week ago ran for 6.3 yards per carry on 30 attempts. Notre Dame's ran for 5.2 yards on, I think, 25 attempts. So there's going to be opportunities in the run game, but if the passing game cannot complement them, it's going to be tough sledding on Saturday. Now, my second key to the game, Luke, is going to be the same one it was last week, actually. It's just tackle well in space and get after the quarterback. It's been 2 weeks in a row now where Minnesota's played at a high level defensively. But it is interesting to note that they're going to be facing an offense on Saturday that has given Joe Rossi some troubles over the last couple of years. Now, I mentioned it in the open. Rossi's first ever game as the defensive coordinator at the University of Minnesota was against Purdue. He stifled Brohm only 10 points in a snowy November game. Well, the last two games, they found some success there, that Brohm has put up 31 points in each of those two games. Now, we've spent at length talking about it. Xander Horvath, a.k.a. Mike Allstott 2.0, he's out for this game. Someone that gave Minnesota a lot of trouble last year, 15 touches for 118 yards. And then their number two tailback in King Doru missed last week's game as well. Even with him back, this isn't going to be a rushing attack. They're going to run the ball. They are the complete opposite of Minnesota philosophy-wise. Minnesota runs the ball to set up the pass. Well, Purdue, they pass the ball to set up the run. So you're going to see Minnesota try to run the ball 40 times, or you're going to see Purdue throw the ball 40 times. But the big thing here is between the two offenses of Bowling Green and Purdue, there's the vertical aspect of it for the Boilermakers. And that's where we'll see if David Bell plays. Again, I told you he suffered that scary concussion against Notre Dame, but he's torched Minnesota in his career. Last year, he went for 104 yards and two scores. And in 2019, he had eight catches for 114 yards. He's really good. If he plays, Minnesota's going to have to keep him in check. We'll see if the tight end, Payne Durham, plays. Again, you'll remember him as the guy who caught the pass interference touchdown, non-touchdown last year. He got hurt against Illinois. He's questionable. There were stretches of their game last week against Illinois where Purdue was without their top three options in Bell, Doru, and Payne. So this is, to me, another game where Minnesota's defensive line's got to step up. I mean, we've seen it the last 2 weeks, but you cannot allow Purdue to establish anything resembling the run. That means that D'Angelo Carter, Boye Mafe, Thomas Rush, and the other guys in the front seven there are going to have to generate pressure so that Purdue doesn't have time to get that vertical passing game cleared for liftoff. And then finally, Luke, I'm sad that I have to go here, but special teams just can't be another dumpster fire. I mean, we're back here again, old friend. It's two straight weeks. Minnesota special teams has hurt the team. And I felt like I was talking about this each and every week last year, and I'm tired of doing it, but here we are. I'm just asking Rob Wenger special teams, please not hurt this team with Big Ten play back on the schedule. That means stop with three special teams penalties that extend drives, don't muff any returns, or heaven forbid, Luke, field the ball with your knee down. And how about you don't miss any kicks under 40 yards or less and make all your PATs? Simple enough, seems like, to me anyway. And that's where, Luke, Purdue does lead the Big Ten in the number of punt returns, but are you worried about that with Mark Crawford's 36 yards in a cloud of dust? I'm not. But it's interesting that Purdue's punter is 13th in the Big Ten in yards per punt, where Minnesota is 12th. So if you're thinking either team is going to be able to flip the field, I have a lot of laughing to do at you. And I would also tell you that the Purdue kicker, Mitchell Finneran, is 7 of 7 on his field goal attempts this year. Has not attempted one pass, I think, 48 yards, but he's also made every extra point as well. So I think they seem pretty evenly matched here on the special team side of things, Luke. It'll be interesting to see which special teams in a what is going to likely be a tightly contested game on Saturday, which one is actually going to be the one that helps and which is going to be the one that hurts.
The Burns Insurance Agency, again, is the partner of Gopher Gridiron Radio, and we appreciate their support. And they want to be here to support you in your insurance endeavors. So, Ryan, what is Bill Burns, your father, going to do to support Gopher Gridiron Radio listeners?
Oh, well, I think he can tell you, as evident by last week, life is just a bunch of different unexpected and challenging events. But the one thing you can count on is having the right protection, and having an insurance agent on your side is a big part of that. And that's where the Burns Insurance Agency, owned by my father, Bill Burns, is a company to help you with life's unexpected events. Whether that's an auto accident, a broken water pipe at your home or business, the Burns Insurance Agency will have you covered. And that's where it's nice to have an independent insurance agent. And that's where I went through with him this past week for my own home. I mean, my coverage came up. And he walked me through how they went through 20 different insurance companies to shop for the best coverage for me at the best price. And I actually ended up saving myself a couple $100 on the year. He does that each and every year for every one of his clients. So if you want to make sure you're getting the most bang for your buck and you're also supporting a local Gopher football fan, check them out at insurancebyburns.com and shoot him an email to set up a free quote today at bill@insurancebyburns.com.
Let's take a look at the Big Ten schedule going into this. This being, I believe, week 5 of the Big Ten season. Yeah, let's call it week 5. First matchup that really sticks out to me, Ryan, is this matchup on Friday night, which I actually do kind of started to warm up to the idea of these Friday night games. I know that it interrupts people that have obligations with their own high school football, but I am excited to see Iowa face off with 4-0 Maryland.
I'm with you where if those of you listening to this have children and you have Friday night obligations, it sucks if you want to watch a good Big Ten game. But I'm curious for this game, Luke. Do you know what the spread for this game is, or can you find it?
I can definitely find the spread for this game.
But Maryland's passing attack with the skill position players that they have is going to be a big test for this Iowa team. I think it's the best group of skill position players that Iowa's defense has seen all year, but I also don't think Mike Locksley is a good coach. Do you know what the spread is?
Yeah, I got the spread. So the spread currently sits at Iowa -4 with an over-under of 46, which feels about right for the over-under, but I would have thought you'd give Iowa more points than that currently
the number five team
in the country.
Yeah, number five team in the country. Apparently begs. So they think this is going to be like a 24-20 type of game. Interesting. Mm-hmm. I could see it, but I think this is going to have to be, I think, the first game for Iowa's offense that they might have to do more. Now, again, they had to do more last week at times against Colorado State, but I am intrigued for that Friday night game, Luke.
Looking around the rest of the Big Ten, I think the other ones that stick out on Saturday are at least Michigan and Wisconsin. This will be at Wisconsin. Wisconsin needs to get off the schneid. Michigan's currently 4-0 and currently ranked 14th in the country. It seems like a good game there.
What's the
Wisconsin Michigan
line?
Wisconsin Michigan line is,
because Wisconsin's
funny you ask. 43.5 over under, and I'll give you a guess at who is favored. Just a guess.
The fact that you're making me guess makes me think Wisconsin is favored.
No, but Michigan is favored by 1 at the moment.
It's an interesting week for many teams. I mean, Minnesota included.
Yeah.
But it's like for the Big Ten West, I mean, again, Maryland, say what you will about them, going against Iowa, they get Iowa on the road. But like, this is a huge week for Wisconsin because Graham Mertz, as bad as you think Tanner Morgan is, Graham Mertz would love to have a word with you. And I hate describing him this way, but Luke, I think it's kind of accurate where Graham Mertz is like a Brett Favre as a game manager, where they're asking him to be a game manager, but he can't help himself for some of these throws that he tries to fit in tight windows. He's got 1 touchdown to 6 interceptions, and now he gets to go play what I think is a pretty dang good Michigan defense. So if Michigan's going to try to run the ball in this game,
for sure,
and it's going to be fascinating to see to me because Michigan's got one of the best running attacks in the Big Ten. Wisconsin's defense is Wisconsin's defense, and that's where that game got out of hand late last week for them against Notre Dame for Wisconsin with a couple of pick sixes. But if this is another game where it's a close game into the fourth quarter, which again Vegas thinks it will be, and Graham Mertz throws another just soul sucking interception, what does Wisconsin do at quarterback?
I don't know, man. It's going to be interesting game to monitor for sure. Okay, real quick, quick hitting questions for you. What do you think the get-in ticket price is for Charlotte at Illinois?
$3.
$4, really close. Good effort there, Ryan. number 11, Ohio State at Rutgers. Why is this game interesting? Well, this is the Greg Schiano returns back to the place that gave him a second opportunity after his failed attempt in the NFL.
What's the line in this game?
The line on that game is, I got to get to the right game. This has 56.5 over under with the Scarlet Knights as a 15.5 point underdog. Here, you want to hear the money line? -650 for Ohio State and 425 for Rutgers.
Yeah, and that's where I believe enough in Travion Henderson and that rushing attack that they can still beat Rutgers. But I mean, say what you will, Rutgers gave Michigan a big run for their money last week.
Yeah.
By the way, did you hear about the Ohio State linebacker kid?
Yeah, I heard about this. He quit in the middle of the game.
He literally quit he tried to quit once in the middle of the game. They coerced him back. And then he quits in the middle of the game and puts on social media, you know, F Ohio State mid game. And it's just like, buddy, help yourself. What do you think any program would want to take you for now that you just put that you're a cancer to the team? But
yeah, no kidding.
Some kids,
some people's kids, I tell you. Indiana at Penn State. This is a revenge game for Penn State, and that loss in Indiana for them. Penn State, a fairly significant favorite here.
I'm not sold that Indiana is a good football team still.
No.
Like last week, Western Kentucky, they've got a good offense, but they gave everything that they could handle. And Pinnix had to throw the ball like 50 times.
Yeah, and they won 31-33 against Western Kentucky. We'll get back to Western Kentucky in a second.
Yeah, speaking
but
of.
Penn State, minus 10.5 at a 52 over-under. Okay, and then speaking of Western Kentucky, you've got Western Kentucky at Michigan State, a night game on FSN, or FS1, I should say. This is a game that I guess maybe not surprising to anyone. Michigan State is fairly heavily favored. I just think it's funny to look at a Michigan State over-under and see it as 61.5, where they're a 10.5-point favorite. Okay, and then lastly, to round out the games this week, you have Nebraska hosting the Northwestern Wildcats.
The battle for who gets NU.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding.
What's the over-under in that game? Because, yeah. First, what's the whole Vegas line for that game? I got to believe Nebraska is like a 7-point favorite.
Yeah, good. 10.5 at the moment.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me one
50
bit.
Over-under. 420 on the money line for Nebraska and 320 plus 320 for Northwestern. Here's the thing though, man, don't bet against Nebraska against the spread. They're current, you know, they're only 2-3 in the standings, but they're 4-1 against the spread this year.
I think Nebraska is decent. I feel bad for them to an extent. They're, I mean, what are they, 2-3, and now they get so many ranked games in a row, but like that defense for them was really good last week. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think Michigan State had a first down in the second half. And it was just,
they've played a legit schedule. Like, I mean, they had the opening loss to Illinois, which looks pretty bad now. You know, they had a big win against, I think it was Fordham. Then they played Buffalo, beat them, and Buffalo is going to be okay. They should be pretty good in the MAC. And then you go at Oklahoma and then at Michigan State.
It's just like, the thing with Scott Frost and his teams, like if it's a tight game, bet against them.
Yeah.
Like they cannot figure out ways to win close games or games they really need to win. Like they really need to win this game. And I think it's also interesting. This is going to be their second straight night game.
Mm-hmm.
And then I believe they're going to have a night game as well for the Michigan game before they come up to Minnesota, which I would imagine is not going to be a night game.
I would imagine.
I think Nebraska wins this game. I think Adrian Martinez is too much for what Northwestern's 2021 version of a defense is. But I also am curious to see if and when Michigan beats them at home there the week before Minnesota. You're 3-4. It's just like now you got to go back on the road. But it's not going to be a night game.
What's the pressure on them from an athletic department, right? Like, that's the thing you got to monitor.
That buyout is insane. But. Yeah,
I know the buyout's insane. And here's your hot take from Luke.
Oh, God.
Yeah, right as we end an episode, right?
Go for it.
Now, Nebraska's really struggled in close games, even against like some inferior opponents, right?
Mm-hmm.
What if PJ Fleck had struggled in some of these close games, like say 2019 on conference schedule? Would he be under as much heat as say maybe a?
It's
Scott
tough
Frost?
To make that comparison because again they had 2019 for a reason.
Yeah, like, and I mean they did. People like to compare them to a certain extent. They also really like to compare Scott Frost to Tim Brewster, and mostly because the records are so similar. But man, yeah, they've had some bad luck, and it's mostly on them, right?
All right, so should we get to our predictions here and get the heck out of here?
Yeah, let's get out of here. So again, Minnesota is currently a 2.5-point underdog at a 48.5 over-under. Go ahead, Ryan.
So in case you just skipped to the end here, Minnesota's keys to the game. Find a passing game, tackle well in space, and get after the passer. In special teams, don't be another dumpster fire. I mean, there's no doubt this is the turning point, the inflection point for whatever it is for this 2021 season. And that starts with the head coach, and that starts with him and the offensive coordinator. The passing game needs to get off the ground to complement the rushing attack. I'd love to see some quick hitting stuff happen early, get Tanner in rhythm. And then again, we'll see how many of these Purdue skill position players are also back. But I think this is another week where the inconsistent Minnesota 2021 team swings back to the other side of the pendulum. I believe Minnesota plays up to the level of opponent. Minnesota's offensive line has a great game, and they're able to get a win on the road on the bye weeks. That's, again, I just think you're going to see enough from the passing game to give you some hope. Rossi's defense gets a turnover late. Minnesota wins this game 24-21.
All right. Where I struggle here is this 47.5 feels like.
Well, the question is, this game's either going to go way under.
Yeah. Or it's going to go way over.
Or way over. Again, the last 2 years, it's been 69 point totals in both of those games. But I get why Vegas is where they're at. And I get why they build so many casinos every year on the strip, is because they're usually pretty spot on.
They're usually pretty spot on, except when they pick, Minnesota beat Bowling Green by 31. But okay, here we go. I'm going to take Minnesota, similarly to where I just didn't feel comfortable against Colorado and I was completely wrong. I'm trying to go and read my gut and say, you know what, Luke, your gut is wrong in this moment. I have been hard on Joe Rossi and this defense. I think they continue to get it done. I'm going to literally knock on wood for everybody who is like, Luke, you're killing us right now.
Oh, there you go.
There we go. And I think the Gophers find a way to get it done. And I think the offense finds a way to bounce back. They play up to their competition and they are going to win 35-28.
There you go. Luke says the over. All right. Well, either way, I mean, a Big Ten win going into the bye week, and then you get a bye week to prepare for Nebraska and Maryland at home. So we will be back on Sunday to talk hopefully about another Gopher win with Derek Burns, Luke.
It would be fun. Again, we want to thank everybody for listening. We want to thank our sponsors, the Burns Insurance Agency, the Goal Line Club, and Ayers Rock Planning. Again, we appreciate all of you that listen, that rate and review the podcast. It's so fun to do, and we enjoy engaging with you. Again, thanks for listening, and go Gophers.